true believers. Today's podcast is about the 10th anniversary of something. And what is that something? Totally slipped by, had no idea it had passed. And coincidentally, it's also the 10th anniversary, or 10th anniversary of another project I was involved in. So I kind of wanted to touch on both of these projects I was involved in. And yeah, I kind of want to talk about it. So we're going to do an A and B part of the podcast, and we'll see how far we get into each of them. Now, the first one, near and dear to my heart, is it's the 10th anniversary of the last issue of Simca. And Simca was a comic I was writing back in the day. And 10 plus years ago. Those that know who I am or are following the podcast and know who I am, you probably know what Simca is, probably know all the details and information about it, but I guess I'm going to have to give a Cole's Notes version, or Cliff Notes version, whichever you prefer to go by, of what Simca is and its importance and that sort of thing. So we're going to delve back to the beginning days of Simca. Now, for those that have read Simca, you may not know the whole story of it. So there's going to be little nuggets and stuff in here that are going to inform you as to where Simca came from. So more than 10 years ago, I was running a game. And it was a role-playing game, tabletop role-playing game, basically a D&D, Dungeons & Dragons game, but it was a Dungeons & Dragons game based around supers. And that's kind of how I... that was my introduction to tabletop gaming, was superhero tabletop. It wasn't Dungeons & Dragons or Traveler or Pathfinder or any of those. My introduction to gaming was through the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game, or MSR, whatever, anyway. When I started playing that game, you know, using what the game came with, you know, so, hey, I'm going to be Spider-Man, or I'm going to be Captain America, or going to be the Hulk, and I'm going to be fighting Doctor Doom. Like, that, basically, you know, the tropes of the game was you play a Marvel hero and you get to be them. I was already creating comics by that point. I'm trying to remember, like, my recollection of the timeline is probably a little bit fuzzy, but I was drawing my own comic books at one point. I don't know if it was at this point or not. Probably not. I think I was done by that point. But I was still writing comic books, and I was making pitches. I was making pitches to Marvel to try to get there and stuff, so... none of that panned out, but I was still creating my own stuff. And you know, nothing was really happening, so I kind of delved a bit deeper into writing games. So I would, instead of using the Marvel characters, I was using my own characters. And basically creating comic books around my own... making role-playing games around my own characters. Or my own universe, or whatever you want to call it. So the game we were running, which was called Simca, was based around a very simple idea. Starting small, going big. And what happened is I had two of my friends, Mark and James, ran the game for them. And they created two very interesting characters. So, I mean, I get to give full props to those two guys. Two of the most endearing, enduring, and awesome characters I've ever seen in any kind of role-playing game, regardless of the genre that it is. They were really, really great characters. So GMing or running the game and having those two characters in it was just phenomenal. And the two characters they created, so if you've read the Simca comic, this is where you're probably going to start recognizing some sort of things. But anyway, it was the character of Gideon, and it was the character of El Tigre, or Joaquin Ramirez. Anyway, these two characters were friends. They come across a tablet called a Simca tablet, and it basically, the Simca series, or the Simca game was, what is this tablet we have? What are we doing with it? What is it? What is it for? Who wants it? And everything around that. And it was the adventures of these two gentlemen figuring it out and trying to keep themselves alive, and everyone that was after it. And it was a really, really fun game. And it started off small, was they found a tablet. When I wrote the game, it was a tablet. I had some general ideas of what the tablet was for, but I didn't really plot too far ahead. I basically decided there was two groups that were trying to secure the tablet, and there was the people that the tablet was stolen from. So there was three groups and our two heroes. And that's the concept I came up with. But as we kept playing and the characters kept evolving, it just got way more interesting. It just got really, really, really good. So eventually two more players came on. It would be Rob and Roz, and they came on and created two characters. Rob created the character called Stick, and Roz created the character called Silver. Contrary to popular belief, Silver in the series is not my wife, but strangely enough, I created this character before my wife, and she has a passing resemblance to my wife, which is really kind of interesting. So our group expanded by two more characters, and I ran the game. And this game ran for a long, long time. And it spun off into other games and stuff. And I honestly think it was the combination of factors. It was probably the best game I've ever run as a dungeon master or game master or judge. And in fact, the game ran for so long that it ran through three, because I ran the Simca game. The Simca game spun off into the CST game, which is a whole other podcast. And between those two, and really one was a part two. CST was really a part two to Simca in a lot of ways, thematically, if you know, primarily thematically, and eventually some of the characters from Simca. Some of the characters from Simca were appearing in it, but as things expanded, more of the characters started coming out. So, you know, eventually Silver and El Tigre eventually became part of the team. The whole thing happened with Gideon. I won't get into that because that's a whole story to be told at another time, which I would like to eventually get out there. So, anyway, so it ran through three different gaming systems. We started playing the game with the Marvel Super Heroes role-playing game, which was really, really fun. Simplified rules. Steve Kenson, the great Steve Kenson, invented a role-playing system for supers. Not the first guy to do it. Not the last guy to do it. But holy crap, was this thing popular. He created a system called Mutants and Masterminds. And I had so many characters created in the Marvel system, so many characters statted out, and oh man! And then I changed everything over to Mutes and Mastermind because it was just such a masterful system. So eventually we started playing in that system, and there were some headaches with making sure the power levels worked out and that sort of thing. And eventually we moved into Mutes and Mastermind Volume 2 or Version 2, or the second iteration of the rules. So the game lasted for a number of years, the Simca portion of it. And it was really, really fun. And it had so many, within the game, there were so many story arcs that I had written that were so good, and the bad guys had all these story arcs, and I mean, it was an ever-evolving, ever-moving thing, And then what happened? What happened was, because of the players I had, the players started evolving character arcs. So I mean, they'd written general backgrounds of their characters. Particularly, Mark wrote this really good background for Gideon. James wrote a really open-ended background for Joaquin or El Tigre, and it was freaking awesome. So, but they left me enough holes in their backgrounds for me to work with to create some really cool. It basically is a tapestry, is weaving in more into their background and tying it into the world, and that it was as a games master, it was probably the most rewarding experience I've ever had. The interaction with the characters and the players, it was very, very good. So once the run was done, I started doing the CST thing, which was kind of the spinoff in a way. And that ran for a number of years as well. Probably a longer number of years than Simca, but that's, again, another podcast. So when we were doing Simca, and it was done, and it was shelved, and Silver and Gideon and Stick and I don't want to spoil anything, so, but basically we the story finished, we capped the entire adventure. It had a fulfilling ending. I was very meticulous in tying everything up, and when the series was done, it was done. So when we did the spinoff of CST, it wasn't based on anything. It wasn't any continuing storyline. It was nothing. The story was done. The story was complete. It resolved itself. It was a self-contained story. It was a long story, but, you know, I told it and it was done. It was great. A few, I guess, a year into CST or 2 years into or whatever it was, I'd gotten the idea, and James and I had talked about this, because James really, really liked the game. James and I had talked about this, and I'm like, man, I should, you know, I don't know if he pushed me or I brought it up, but basically, like, you know, I got to write this out, because this adventure was just so good, and it was so satisfying that I didn't want to just leave it. Like, I want it to keep going. Like, I didn't want it to die, and I didn't want it to die in memory. I had taken copious notes because the level of change and complexity to the storyline and keeping all those balls in the air, it was very, very difficult. I had spreadsheets to keep track of what was going on. I took copious notes every session. I did a very randomizing thing where new characters were introduced, they're, you know, keeping track of all these characters and who did what, and it was a lot of work. But I had all these notes, so I mean, I could actually retell the story in a written format as opposed to game format, so other people that hadn't played the game or hadn't been there to play the game could actually, you know, hear the game. Or and see what happened in the game. But it was a bit daunting to get started and stuff. But anyway, regardless, I'm like, you know what, this was really good. I decided that, you know, I'm going to make this into a comic book. I mean, I love comic books. I mean, obviously, playing in a Supers campaign, I mean, obviously, I like superheroes. So I decided I was going to make a comic book. So I started writing scripts. Comic book scripts. With the idea of I'm gonna find somebody that's gonna draw this, I'm gonna pay them or partner with them or some such thing, and we're gonna draw this. We're gonna do it. Maybe we'll do 3 issues and we'll submit it. We'll see if someone's willing to pick it up, or we'll, you know, damn it, we'll just self-publish it. I wasn't sure how it was gonna work, and it was new territory for me. I was very, very familiar with comic books, but I didn't know how I could make this work. So. During this whole process, I can't remember how many scripts I'd written, but I remember when I'd started it, my original pitch of the idea was Simca would last 12 issues, because I kind of glazed over everything that happened and kind of, well, you know, I could probably fit that into 12 issues. I mean, it's not, it took us years to play the game, but in a comic book, things are just happening, right? So, and, you know, I thought, well, you know, some of the stuff, I'd probably edit out some of the things that happened because they just didn't, you know, playing a game and telling a story are very similar in a lot of ways, but the pacing in a game can really suck at times or be really slow, and it just doesn't conduct itself to be in a book or a comic, right? So anyway, I'd written scripts, and I can't remember how many I'd written at that point, somewhere between 3 to 6 at that point, when I got hooked up with Randy Campbell, Randy was running a Rolemaster campaign, and I managed to finagle my way into the campaign and be one of his players. And Randy is probably one of the greatest game masters of all time. I learned a lot playing under that guy, and I'll be perfectly honest in saying I probably ripped him off tons in terms of technique being a game master. But through him, he worked kind of for the Guild Companion, which is an online e-zine, I guess you could call it. They, you know, every month they put out a new issue, and it's basically articles about gaming, mostly related to Rolemaster and Rolemaster derivative systems. And Randy had some ties to those people of Rolemaster. So anyway, altogether, basically, there was an association with Rolemaster and the Guild Companion website. His wife, Suzanne, actually worked for the website on a more formative, I think Randy wrote articles for it occasionally, but Suzanne actually worked directly under Nicholas Caldwell, and was basically editor, and I think she supplied content. She was a gaming nerd, just like, you know, like we all were, and she gamed and stuff. So Suzanne was really awesome. She's a really, really cool person. I mean, so was Randy. I mean, so I can't remember how it came about, but I don't know, Randy was pimping the Guild Companion website, or, you know, suggested I should take a look at it, or I can't remember the whole sequence of events that led to it, but anyway, what eventually happened was somehow they were looking for articles, or I should make a pitch to send them an article. I can't quite remember. But anyway, the conversation was, we'd like to see, the conversation ended up being that I had comic book scripts for it. That I had comic book scripts, and even though my setting for my game was a supers game, they kind of were curious in publishing scripts on the website of my game, of the story of my game in a comic book format, because it was kind of a unique thing. There was some submissions of fiction on there, I believe, or submissions of story, maybe from game, I'm not really sure, but no one had ever submitted like a comic script or published a comic script on their page. So anyway, basically because of what I had, the format it was in, the combination of factors, the Guild Companion decided, hey, if you're interested, we'll publish. We'll put your stories out there. You'll contain your complete copyright of it. We'll print it, you know, and that was it, right? So I was pretty excited because, I mean, this is actually a writing gig. Non-paying writing gig, but a writing gig nonetheless, because, I mean, I wasn't a proven author or writer or anything, and it was going to give me a chance to kind of learn how to grind out a story. Now, at the time, I think my pitch to them was 12 issues, and I figured I could wrap the storyline up in 12 issues and have it be tight and more interesting, as opposed to, you know, running every single thing that happened in the game. As the process went along, Suzanne was my direct editor, and she was editing everything I had. My first issue was absolutely horrible, and went through several revisions. I think in the end, and I could be wrong, my memory is probably really weak on this, but I think I'd gone through 7 different revisions, and I can't remember if I had a month or 2 months to get the first issue ready. They gave me some time or whichever. But anyway, back and forth, and to be honest, I thought I knew a lot about writing. I knew nothing. I can't give enough credit to Suzanne. She steered me in the right way. She got my first issue written up real nice. It was really good. In retrospect, to go back now, and it just seems so weak. But compared to the original draft, we did a lot of work on getting it a lot better. But once I had that first issue out and it was up on the site, and that was March 2003. I'll have links posted on the bottom here, but it's www.theguildcompanion.com. Anyway, it was, I got the first issue out, and it was, wow, you know, this is happening. But I was also hoping to translate Simca online and into some publicity or something to get me an artist, because up to this point, I was still pushing and trying super hard to get an artist to work with me. I was scouring message boards online. I was making pitches to artists online. I had a couple of maybes. I even worked for a few months with this wonderful artist. This is what really pushed me forward. I worked with, this great artist. I don't know if I want to say his name here, but those that are familiar with Simca will probably know who it is, but I don't want to embarrass the guy or anything. But he's a really, really good artist. We worked out a lot of concepts together, a lot of stuff by email and whatever, and we really worked out what the characters would look like and all those things. And it was really forming, and his artwork was exactly the style of artwork that I really, really liked, that I originally envisioned for the series. Now, before this point or after this point, I had already drawn or later I drew the first 6 pages of the issue myself. Now, I used to draw a lot, but I haven't drawn in a very, very long time. So, the art was really slow. And I was, at the time, my goal was to have a page of artwork done a day. Well, that never happened. I kept, long, arduous process. And in the end, I knew I just couldn't get the mustard as an artist, and there was no sense in me even trying. But anyway, all that being said and done, the first issue came out, second issue came out, third issue came out. I was pumping them out every month, never missed a deadline for that entire time. Suzanne drew a character, so I ended up writing character bios of the 4 main characters. I think the 4 main characters, I have to go back now. 4 main characters, and possibly Dale Turcotte, who was this news reporter that was kind of following the story as it progressed the entire time. And then she drew the pictures of them. All of my characters were based on real people. And I had photographs of these real people, and so the artist had something to work off of. The issues kept coming out. I never missed a deadline. I can't remember what issue we were at, maybe issue 6 or so. And I don't think I'm going to fit this into 12 issues. I really like how the story's going. And as each issue came out, I was much more comfortable with my writing and my output and the whole creative process, and I got better. I got a lot better at it. And it became easier and easier, and we went down from whatever it was, 7 edits on the first issue to, I don't know if we got down to 5, but anyway, the numbers were reducing and reducing to the point that I'd send it back, she'd make a few corrections, I corrected, it was done. So, we're on issue, six or so. Then we get to the point, like, you know what? I don't know if I can have this within 12 issues. I mean, I can kind of rush to the ending. I was told, no, you take the time you need to tell the story and tell it the way you want to tell it. So, that's what I did. So, I kind of figured, well, you know what? We're probably going to end up around... probably around 20 issues or 24 issues. And I was trying to keep the numbering on it within a comic book, you know, purview. Basically, you know, a 12 issue run is a 1 year, you know, that sort of idea. I was trying to be economical on the math. So anyway, started writing it, and then sometime later, probably around issue 10 or so, I think issue 10 was probably the first good issue I had written, where I was comfortable enough. I thought, you know, my chops had improved, and really the characters were really starting to come into their own. And that's around the time it started getting really good. But that's when, around the time that things started happening, everything had fallen apart with my other artist, who was going to be the artist for the series when it fell off the face of the planet. And then I had several failed attempts at scouting talent online. And then eventually I lucked into a partnership with Jenna. And Jenna was more into manga. And I wasn't a fan of manga, but... And to be honest, at that point, I was going to take any artist I could get, anyone that was willing to make the commitment. And we worked together, and I really learned to like manga more from working with her. And she's just a lovely person. She was so great to work with. Like, I actually really enjoyed working with her. So she started drawing a first issue, which was awesome. But life gets in the way, and both of us were either students and or working, and or had life happening around us. And to be honest, to be putting that much artwork out with all those other things to consider, meeting a monthly schedule was never going to happen. I tried to be conservative, thinking that maybe we could put out, you know, 3 issues a year and maybe space it out and not release the first issue until finish the third issue, you know, it's basically kind of a timing thing. But by then I'd realize it's not going to be 12 issues, it's going to be far more than 12 issues. So anyway, so around that time I'd met Jenna, and I was working on the side with Jenna on getting Simca published as a comic book. So it was quite exciting around that time. So all that being said, during this whole stint writing for the Guild, I got better and I got faster. Like I said, issue 10 was probably the best issue. The first good issue. I won't say great, but it was the first good issue where the series really got some steam and started moving forward. And Simca was really, really, really taking off for me creatively. So... now during that time, I had written bios of all the characters. Try not to give away too much, because I mean there's so much spoilerish stuff. The series was just kept popping, opening chests of information throughout the entire series. There's so many bombs that were dropped. It was really, really cool. Like, it was really cool to be able to do that and hint but never give away anything. I'd also written kind of an opening, what the world of Simca was all about. Where is it? What is it? What's it have to do with? It's an alternate reality of our current one. I'd written this long history as to how the world got changed. And it got changed in the 40s and affected everything that happened ever since. And the entire economic structure of the world was different. Everything was different about the world because of incidents that had happened in the 40s. And I don't want to give that away. But in the back of my mind, I'd written that entire timeline out, including key components throughout history that were directly changed by the consequences of those few things that happened. Butterfly effect, or whatever you want to call it. Sorry, it's just some weird people on the street here. But I wrote a very shorter version of it, a severely edited version of it, because I didn't want people to know what, you know, where it was leading to. And a lot of this was revealed in the CST game, which eventually I should publish. But anyway, so I'm going to cap it off here. It's been about 30 minutes or so. I got some phone calls to make. I just got home. So this is the Simca 10th anniversary special, part one. That gets us up to the first basically 10 or 12 issues. We're going to take you through the next ones. And I know I'm not going through content because I don't want to spoil, but I want to talk about the creative process and how this series came to be. And I think you hit the big point. So next episode, we're going to talk about the comic coming up. We're going to talk about... we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the end of the series. And move on from there. We'll talk to you on the next episode of On the Road. And my phone timed out. Again.